We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Alongside me, Chris Biederman, Ohio State alum. And it's still Super Bowl week, which is cranking out content. We got a bunch of Super Bowl questions for you that we have haphazardly written down, and we'll just go through in order so you can see how our stream of consciousness worked. We got rid of some questions that we were writing as jokes to each other in the doc because we're just pals that like to do little jokes like that. Before we get into our burning Super Bowl questions, let's talk about our friends over at Lamb Chops, the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. SGLambChops.com is the website, and it is the preferred clothing brand of both me and Chris. It's delightful.
As always, I think it's mandatory when I record podcasts from the home studio. I am in Lamb Chops. In warmer days, I'll wear the sweat shorts. Extremely comfortable, soft, warm, zippered pockets, of course. Cooler days, you got the sweatpants with the elastic end on the, making them joggers. Just extremely comfortable. Great for travel. The ash gray hoodie is a favorite. I wear it on this podcast frequently. Not at the moment, but always one of my favorites in the rotation. Shout out to Lamb Chops and our friends over there.
Promo code Candlestick20 gets you 20% off your order today. Shorts, sweats, hoodies, whatever you want. They got it for you at Lamb Chops. We're also sponsored by Cooperage Brewing. We love Cooperage. Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA. It's my favorite beer, followed very closely by Keg Slayer, another delightful beer. IPAs, Pilsners, Oatmeal Stouts.
Double West Coast IPAs.
My buddy's kind of a beer snob, and he said that they're the best hazy IPAs he's had.
I would agree.
Yeah, really, really good. I'm not a big hazy guy, and Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA is my favorite thing to drink. You can get yours at CooperageBrewing.com. I actually think they're sold out right now of Candlestick Chronicles, which makes sense given the whole Super Bowl thing.
They are out of stock on their website at the moment.
People preparing for their Super Bowl parties no doubt have sold them out of Candlestick Chronicles. That's how it goes. And that's just how good it is. But luckily for you, dear listener, all of their beer is delightful. So get yours today at CooperageBrewing.com. That is one day shipping. So if you order it when you're listening to this, you should get it by Super Bowl. Assuming that you listen to this before like Saturday. So... Yeah. This comes out Wednesday. If you order this Wednesday, you should have a case of Cooperage beer on your front doorstep, as long as you're 21 or over and in the state of California, you sign for it and bang, you've got beer for your Super Bowl shindig, whatever it is.
And if you want a hazy IPA, but you can't get Candlestick Chronicles hazy IPA, they have Sound as Vibration, which is another excellent, excellent hazy and a Tommy Pastrami hazy four pack. Galaxy and Simcoe hops in that one. 7% HBV, and you got 6.8% HBV in the Sound as Vibration. The Candy Crons at 6.2 with 100% Citra hops. So, you know, if you're going to get after it, get after it Super Bowl Sunday, you'll have a little bit more HBVs at your disposal with those other ones. And the Granddaddy Terp is 8.7%. So,
Party time.
Really, if you're real, just make sure you make sure you split that up with you know, a glass of water.
Yeah, and call a Lyft or something.
Yeah, definitely don't drive.
Yeah, obviously, as always. All right, as always. Cooperage Brewing, cooperagebrewing.com. Visit the brewery in Santa Rosa. Great place to watch a game. All right. Let's talk burning Super Bowl questions.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
I kind of wish we had left our silly questions in here.
We could ask him.
No, that's cool. No, they were, that was a good time. But I think the way we should do this is to just run through them in order instead of trying to have some kind of rhyme or reason.
Sure.
Okay. Great.
We'll start with first one. Yeah, first one. Who's got more on the line, Brock Purdy or Patrick Mahomes?
Oh man. Okay, I'm going to go with Brock Purdy. Because yep. Patrick Mahomes is stamped, right? He's certified. But with Purdy, there's not going to be any... If they lose, there's not going to be any... Well, I mean, look, Peyton Manning didn't win one in year until year 9. So he's got time, right? It's going to be, oh, Niners can't win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. Time to do something else. Wow, they messed up getting rid of Trey Lance. Oh, man, what did... Oh, the Niners, they've just botched this horribly. And I think that's going to be the prevailing thought if the 49ers lose. Whereas if the 49ers win, I don't think anybody's going to be calling for Patrick Mahomes and saying that he shouldn't be the Chiefs quarterback and they'll never win another one.
I agree with you. My answer would be Purdy because there is that chance, right? Like if he comes in and throws 3 picks and the Niners lose, and then he comes out next season and his confidence is shaken and he's not the same quarterback, then there is an outside chance that the 49ers end up moving on sooner rather than later, right? Like there's still a chance that Brock Purdy is not the long-term guy. Patrick Mahomes already has that long-term guy wrapped up. Like his right. future in Kansas City is not in question. It's just ultimately how long does he decide to continue playing, which obviously is going to be a long time. But the case for saying Patrick Mahomes has more on the line here is about the GOAT discussion, right? Because sure. Tom Brady won 3 in his first 4 years as the starter in New England. And if Mahomes wins this one, you can make a very strong case that this is the best, what, start to his career. He became the starter in 2018, right? So it'd be the best 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, the best 6-year start to any quarterback's career, really in line with Brady.
Yeah.
And statistically and anecdotally, I think, you know, Brady early on in his career, people forget, was sort of the quote unquote game manager. He was not the guy who was, you know, lighting up the stat sheet. He was a quarterback who helped his team win a bunch of games, but he was not a dude putting up elite numbers, nor did the eye test look anything like Mahomes, right? Mahomes like running around, making ridiculous throws, throwing left-handed, all of these super memorable plays, you know, dropping back an extra 15 yards on third and 15 and finding Tyreek Hill to essentially swing momentum of the last time the Chiefs played the Niners in the Super Bowl and the Chiefs' first Super Bowl win. So yeah, like I think in the short term, like Purdy absolutely has more to lose than Mahomes does, because there's a world where, you know, he gets kind of Jimmy Garoppolo'd and the 49ers decide that you know, maybe he regresses next year because his confidence is shot and the 49ers ultimately don't have their franchise quarterback for the long term and they decide against giving Brock Purdy $40, $50 million a year or whatever it would be in a couple years. But when it comes to the conversation about the greatest quarterback of all time, I think Mahomes puts himself squarely in that conversation just because it would be, you know, the best start we've ever, the best first 6 years we've ever seen from a quarterback if he comes away with his third title.
Yeah. The other thing for Purdy that's on the line, I agree with what you're saying about Mahomes. Also, you don't want to be the guy that lost to Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. But on the other hand, with Purdy, and I think why there's a lot on the line for him, is he got hurt in the NFC title game last year, but then came in this year, did not play well against Green Bay, and then outside of a couple of scrambles against Detroit, wasn't particularly awesome in that game.
Yeah.
And once you include that, like, he wasn't very good in the first half against Seattle in his playoff debut last year. He really struggled with the entire team, I think, struggled against Dallas, and then he got hurt in the NFC title game. Like, he's putting together a not a bad track record in the playoffs by any means. I mean, he's 4-1 as a starter, so he hasn't been that bad. But if he goes out and doesn't play well in the Super Bowl, he has way more quarters of not playing well in the playoffs than playing well. So that's another kind of, I think, underlying thing here for him on Sunday.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, like, my opinion is that Kyle Shanahan loves this guy. Like,
dude, did you hear him talking about him?
Yeah, like, Kyle Shanahan loves this guy, and it does not. He was even talking today. I saw a clip about how much more confident he is as a play caller, and how much more aggressive he is as a play caller, and mentioned that, you know, his aggression as a play caller ebbs and flows depending on his players. And, you know, we've heard him allude to that a little bit in the past, but not really say it so cut and dry. And the first thing I thought of when I heard him say that today, and we're recording this Tuesday, was like Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. It was Kyle Shanahan, at the time, after the NFC title game, when Jimmy Garoppolo had, 8 pass attempts, said the running game was working. Why wouldn't we go away from it? Or why would we go away from it? And now, like, in hindsight, now that he's further away from it and he doesn't have to, you know, say anything that doesn't hurt Jimmy Garoppolo's feelings, he can be honest and say, no, I just really didn't trust Jimmy at that point, given, you know, how Jimmy was prone to throwing terrible interceptions in bad moments, and was ultimately like a huge reason the 49ers wanted to move on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Purdy has unlocked a level of confidence that Shanahan hasn't had really with any other 49ers quarterback. And so to me, like, I don't think, no matter what happens, like, I think if Purdy came in and had the same game that he had against Baltimore, like, he's still the Niners starter next year. And it doesn't mean that, like, his, you know, like, Sam Darnold's going to be competing for him or with him for the starting job next year. I don't think that's going to be a scenario that plays out. But what it does do is it might be the first domino in the series of dominoes that ultimately leads to the 49ers deciding that, man, they need an upgrade. And not because Brock Purdy is incapable of playing well or losing in the Super Bowl means he's not the guy.
Right.
But if it sows doubt in Purdy's mind and kills his confidence, then that will be the moment that we all look back to, sort of like I in hindsight, now that the Jimmy Garoppolo era has come and gone with the 49ers, I do think him tearing his ACL was sort of that first moment where it was like, yeah, I don't really think he's the guy. Right. Because before that, he was the playmaker. He was nimble in the pocket. He was really good at evading pass rushers, gunslinger, like, played freed and loose. And then once he came back from the knee injury, it was very clear, even in 2019, he had a great year and the Niners went to the Super Bowl. but he was very clearly to me a different player. It wasn't.
So you mean not the act of getting hurt, but the player he became after that.
Yeah, like the player he became after.
Sure.
Like if Brock comes in and throws four interceptions and the Niners lose, mm-hmm. I think that's the similarity is the fact that that was the first moment that led to other moments in the 49ers realizing that this dude probably is not it. And they got to move on. But I think I still think that's unlikely because I'm a believer that even if Brock does throw four picks, he'll come back next year and lead the league in yards per attempt and passer rating and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Like, it felt like when they lost in the Super Bowl behind Jimmy Garoppolo, that the way that game went down at the end. And I watched it. I watched it back the other day, and there were just multiple opportunities for him to make plays, and he didn't. And it felt like after that Super Bowl, it was like, oh, can they do this with Garoppolo? Is he good enough to go up against? Like, their defense played about as well as it can play, and the offense just couldn't get over that hump. I went and looked this up. I think it started in the Vikings game because he threw that pick at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second half, he threw six passes. And then in the NFC Championship game, like you just mentioned, he threw eight. That's 14 passes across six quarters of football.
Yeah.
That's definitely where that started. And then, like I said, you got to the Super Bowl. And I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case with Purdy just because we've seen, I think, a better version of Brock Purdy over the last couple of years than we really ever saw of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily they lose the Super Bowl and he's out. But I do think that seed of doubt gets planted in a way that it hasn't had a chance to yet. If they
lose. Because even like when he's had bad games, like, you know, he could always come back from the Cleveland game. Like, that was, you're allowed bad games during the regular mm-hmm. season against great defenses and terrible weather. And even the Packers playoff game, it was like, we can talk about the rain and, you know, losing Debo Samuel and that type of stuff. I don't know that you can come back from a bad performance in a Super Bowl in the same way. And like the Baltimore game was like, yeah, it was one game. It was Christmas. Like, it was, mm-hmm. You know, so
that's you crazy. Can come Remember back from Baltimore a regular won the Super Bowl that night.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, Lamar Jackson won the MVP.
He did. He definitely did that.
Which we'll find
and then
out
won the Super Bowl. Crazy.
I'm
going to ask you this next one. Cause I'm not 100% sure what it means.
Okay.
Is Kyle Shanahan going to suffer from Andy Reid syndrome? Please explain.
So remember Andy Reid in Philadelphia was always like, yeah, he's a great coach, but he goes all these NFC championship games and went to a Super Bowl and was it multiple Super Bowls or just one? I forget.
Just one.
But couldn't win the big one. And then he ended up getting run out of town eventually
mm-hmm.
and didn't win a Super Bowl. Gosh, what was it? He had been coaching. I think he had been a head coach for more than a decade before he won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like way a decade.
Yeah. So like, is Kyle Shanahan going to remain this era's Andy Reid in the sense that, cause you remember, and we've talked about this before too, but like, you remember the way Andy Reid was talked about was sort of blasphemous and like, he's not any good because of his, you know, late game clock management and always coming up short in the biggest moments, et cetera, et cetera. When really he was like legitimately one of the best coaches in the league. And all he really needed was a Super Bowl to put a stamp on his legacy. And now that he has Patrick Mahomes and he's been to, you know, all these Super Bowls that like.
He was in year 20 when he won a Super Bowl finally.
Yeah. So like.
21. I mean, oh my God. 21. Sorry.
He was in his 21st season as coach before he won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
So yeah, like if Kyle Shanahan, is this another step towards like that frustrating process where on Monday, all of the debate shows are talking about Kyle Shanahan choking in the big one. And mm-hmm. is he overrated, et cetera, et cetera. When the answer is probably no, but it just speaks to the value of winning actually winning a Super Bowl when you're considered like an elite coach. Because I do think there's a faction of people who look at Kyle Shanahan and look at losing the 28-3 game as the offensive coordinator with the Falcons and like look at all the offensive stuff and still kind of think he's fraudulent because he hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Despite his obvious influence on the league and the fact that there are so many coaches, including Super Bowl winning coaches, like Sean McVay, who, you know, came from his tree. Right. So I just, that was the point of that question. Like, is Kyle Shanahan, he's at a fork, like this game sort of represents a fork in the way he's talked about, to where, okay, he's this like overrated coach who always like fails in the big one, which I think is dumb, obviously.
Sure.
Or is he now like elevated to like a possible Hall of Fame type coach who might be able to win a couple more?
I have some thoughts on this that I'll dive into a little bit more later. But I definitely think it's a possibility that he winds up there. I mean, dude, in fact, you know what? There were people calling for him to be fired after 2020 and then after 2021 and then after last year. Like, there are already people who are just going to be out on him as a head coach unless he wins a Super Bowl. And I think it's worth noting, Andy Reid, for 4 consecutive years, won multiple playoff games. No, I'm sorry. Was in multiple playoff games, 1-1, 1-2, 1-1, and then got to the Super Bowl with a couple of wins in 2004. So his team was in the playoffs 5 straight years. They lose the Super Bowl, they go 6-10 the next year, but then they make the playoffs and win a playoff game in 2006. Missed the playoffs in 07, won 2 playoff games in 08, and then were 1-done in 09 and 10. They go 8-8 and 11 in 2011, and then 4-12 in 2012, and that's when he got booted. Like, he got a long, long leash to get over the hump. And given what infrastructure the 49ers have built under Kyle Shanahan and what he does for them offensively, just by virtue of being the offensive coordinator and the front office and what they've done building this roster, like, I don't see any reason that Jed or anybody in the organization is going to be like, okay, we're good off this. Goodbye. Anytime.
No, there's no chance. Kyle Shanahan has more job security than really anybody but Andy Reid, I would argue.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think nationally, to answer the question, nationally, yes. The conversation around him will not be kind if they lose the Super Bowl in any fashion.
Yeah.
But I think within the 49ers organization, they could lose the Super Bowl 100-0. And he's rock solid in his job status.
Yeah, completely agree. I also,
you know what,
think
100-0 would be pretty bad. You might have to fire a coach after 100-0 loss.
Leave him in Vegas. Don't even let him on the plane.
It's because like, you drank on Monday night, you heathen.
I do think, like, if he loses and if Brock plays bad, like if the Niners lose and Brock plays bad, there's going to be a faction of people. And if you're familiar with the media landscape, you could probably guess at the faction, who these people might be. But there are going to be people going back to the Trey Lance situation and talking about how that was bungled and that is the reason why the 49ers lost. Not that I agree with it, but that's going to be like the skeleton in the closet that gets brought back out.
Yeah.
If Brock Purdy doesn't play well.
Yeah. 100%. There was, there was when they traded Trey Lance, there was a large, like, I didn't necessarily think they should start Trey Lance this year, but I was super in the camp that they should keep him. But there were definitely questions after they traded Trey Lance of why they didn't just start Trey Lance this year. And the people asking those questions have not had the same question, but you're right. It will come up again if they lose and Purdy doesn't play well.
Who's going to hold Kyle Shanahan accountable?
Hold his feet to the fire. All right. Third one. Are we doing a your turn, my turn thing, or am I asking all of them? Okay.
Okay. So we alluded to this a little bit earlier, but is there
anything?
Oh,
wait, no, it's my turn. I'm sorry. No, wait, it's your turn. You go.
It's my turn to ask. So yeah. we talked about this a little bit, but is there anything that could happen? I guess I should ask you. Is there anything that could happen that would make Kyle Shanahan consider not having Brock Purdy as a long-term QB on Sunday?
No. I think there's a big enough sample size for Shanahan that his faith in Brock Purdy is pretty much unwavering. And if he performs poorly in the Super Bowl, it'll be written off as, oh, it's his first Super Bowl, is a huge game. This player didn't play well. That player didn't play well. This play could have gone different. I don't think so. I think Kyle Shanahan is pretty stout in his faith in Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and I think one point, I agree with you, obviously, and I think one point that needs to be made when it comes to anytime you make a decision where, fire Kyle Shanahan or get rid of Brock Purdy, like, okay, but what's your plan then? Like, what is your replacement strategy? Mm-hmm. And in this case, more than likely, it's going to get Kirk Cousins. So if you're like out on Brock Purdy and like, oh, he couldn't win the big one, like, okay, go get Kirk Cousins then. You know, like, unless you can pull off a trade, like, that's the thing with this stuff is, like, there isn't really a scenario where, okay, Brock Purdy was bad in the Super Bowl, but there's not going to be a scenario where, like, an obvious fix exists, particularly given what Purdy makes. Like, the contract is a huge part of it.
Yeah, and that's just it. You have an expensive-ass roster that's really good and in the Super Bowl, by the way. They're in the Super Bowl right now. Well, not right now. They're in Las Vegas. They're in the Super Bowl on Sunday at 3:30 Pacific. But Brock Purdy next year, $1 million cap hit. Brock Purdy in 2025, $1.1 million cap hit. He is 17-4 as a starter in the regular season and 4-1 as a starter in the playoffs. He could suck ass in the Super Bowl, and the 49ers are going to roll with him because there is proof positive they can even win football games in the NFL, and he cost them $1 million goddamn dollars. That's just that. Hey, every NFL team who doesn't have an elite quarterback, would you like a quarterback who can win you games for $1 million? Yep, all of them would.
I think
so. He's their quarterback at least for the next 2 years, and they're going to give it a go.
I think this hasn't gotten enough attention, but the fact that Brock Purdy, regardless of whether or not you think he's elite, regardless of whether or not, you know, you think he should or shouldn't be an MVP candidate, he might have been in these last 2 years the biggest bargain in sports history when it comes to value provided versus cost.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's close. Unless you want to go back to, I don't know, did Kurt Warner win a Super Bowl on
yes,
on a rookie contract?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, that's what we're talking about.
So did Tom Brady.
Okay. So like one of the best values. Well,
hang on.
In history.
The Rams won it in 99.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Super Bowl. As far as I can tell here, he made $250,000.
Kurt Warner did?
Yeah, that year.
Wow.
99, yeah. $250,000 base salary with a $500,000 prorated bonus. He had a $750,000 cap number in 1999.
Okay, but so the in terms of cap percentage...
1.3%.
And Purdy's got to be what, 0.6%?
Brock Purdy is this year 0.4%.
Okay.
Wild.
Point stands. Best value in NFL history. Should the 49ers win, of course.
Yes. Good work. Good work by you.
All right. This next question is kind of nihilist on your part, but
do you want to do the second one first? I just want to say this. Here's the point. I just want to make this point. This is why I wanted to write the question. It's would be the worst way for the 49ers to lose, because I was rolling through this and I might write a piece about this. If you're a 49er fan in your mid 30s, I'm 33 years old. The Kyle Williams thing happens in 2011. 2012, they lose the Super Bowl to the Ravens, where they had the ball on the 5-yard line and couldn't.
I was there. You were there.
2013, you had the Richard Sherman tip to Malcolm Smith for an interception in Seattle in the NFC Championship game. 2015 is Jim Tomsula. 2014 is the mess that was the end of the Jim Harbaugh era. 2015 was Jim Tomsula. 2016 is Chip Kelly. 2017 was the first Kyle Shanahan year where they start 1-10. 2018, Jimmy Garoppolo tears his ACL. 2019, they lose the Super Bowl after having a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Like, there's just so many. And then they dropped Jaquaski Tartt interception in the 21 NFC title game, and Brock Purdy gets hurt in the 22 NFC title game. There's just no, it's hard to find ways that the 49ers could lose on Sunday and have it be like, wow, that was bad. Like, I feel like a lot of 49er fans are just kind of numb to it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only way that a Chiefs win on Sunday could be like, wow, that was a new low, is if they blow another late lead.
So that's ultimately the question to me, is getting blown out better than blowing a late lead? So you think, because
if they lose, if they lose 31-13, it's just like, well, like, dang.
If you get blown out, it feels like it invalidates all of the excitement that was created this season, because this was a pretty charged season from like an excitement standpoint.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I'm totally with you, but you can write that off as, dang, you know what? Got beat by Patrick Mahomes in a big game. Didn't play their best, you know, whatever. If you blow another late lead, now that question of like, hey, should they move forward with Kyle Shanahan comes to the fore. Because now this is a lot of different players on this team and you still can't hold on to, like, that would be bad. That would be hard to swallow.
Yeah, I mean,
if you smoke another late one, oh, damn.
Yeah. That'd be tough. I'm kind of with you.
Because if you get blown out, you just lost, right? If you get the rug ripped out from under you again, oof.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, that's true. Because there have been so many heartbreaking ways that it's ended.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, another blown late lead would be tough.
Yeah.
That'd just be tough. Getting blown out, though. Getting blown out would suck from the standpoint of, like, everyone went all in on this team, like, including us, or including me, mm-hmm. being like, this is the best team they've had since 94, since the last time they won the Super Bowl. Like, this is a better team than 2019. Certainly better offense. But, yeah, no, blowing another lead, that would be, okay, I think we're in agreement. The most satisfying way to win, I mean, for
overcoming
me,
overcoming, like, a late deficit?
If they just housed him, they just blew him out.
I agree.
If it looked like the Steelers game or the Jaguars game, mm-hmm. or any number one of the Niners blowouts against, like,
the Cowboys,
pretty good teams,
the Eagles,
yeah, the Cowboys, the Eagles game.
Oh, like, you said pretty good teams. Take the Eagles out of there. Sorry, I didn't mean that. The Eagles are good.
If it looked like that, I think that would be the most satisfying one, because it would just be, for Niners fans, it would just be a party the entire game. I don't think that's going to happen.
You talked
about that would be the most satisfying one.
No, I totally, I think I agree with you. Although being down 2 scores to Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter and having a Brock Purdy-led offense overcome a two-score deficit against Patrick Mahomes would be pretty nuts. Hey, it's Kyle Madsen with Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and I'm here to talk to you about my new favorite thing about football season, and that's Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy sports, the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's easy, exciting, and that's my two favorite things to have in daily fantasy football. There's quick withdrawals, it's easy gameplay, there's so many selections of players and stat types that make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And I know you're probably worried about like daily fantasy sports. Oh, there's pros and there's sharks and there's all these people that dedicate their lives to just winning at daily fantasy. Well, no. This is just you. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 players to create an entry. And those 2 to 6 players, you pick more than or less than on their stat projections. And then you watch the winnings roll in. It is so easy. And Prize Picks offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts. There's like Taco Tuesday, where every Tuesday Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25%. That gives you even more value. And my very favorite part of all of this, Prize Picks offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. So go to prizepicks.com/candlestick and use code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Go to prizepicks.com/candlestick and use code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. You can jump in and get Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, George Kittle. Slam the more than and root like heck for those guys to go more than those projections. I'm telling you. It's the very best way to consume football. So prizepicks.com/candlestick and use code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in. Maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that. And it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kid sizes on here too.
Yes, that is.
And everything's correct. Unisex. Yeah. We should point out also. So, yeah. No matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today.
You know, it'd be funny. Say it goes exactly like the Eagles game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Brock Purdy has like a perfect day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would people would think less of Brock Purdy if the Niners blew out the Eagles and he was like perfect throughout the entire game.
I mean, the Chiefs
basically just like reaffirming what we saw throughout the season. Whereas if Brock Purdy was terrible in the first half and then led a comeback drive in the fourth quarter,
totally right.
People would be like, oh, this guy's got it. He's proved all the doubters wrong.
That's the dialogue I need is Niners win 38-20. Yeah. And Purdy has a, like you said, a Eagles like game, but it's all like yak. It's just short throws. Yeah. And people are like, yeah, he won a Super Bowl, but I mean, really, did he? That's what I need. Came back from 17 down against the Lions, and it's like, yeah, but did he really come back? Like, yes! Yeah. Look at the freaking scoreboard. God, why is his EPA per play? Okay, I'll look at points. APA.
Just for the sake of like the Purdy discourse, a Niners blowout would be like the best thing because that's where it would get to the most ridiculous levels.
Yes.
in the sense that people like the Niners blowing out the Chiefs, it would do less for Brock Purdy than him playing like shit for three quarters and then winning in the fourth.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it would be really, really funny. We'd be like, wait, hold on. Brock Purdy just blew out the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and somehow he's overrated. Like, that's what we're doing.
Good. to your point about if they get blown out, it would invalidate kind of this entire season. If they win via blowout, it would validate everything.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, everything that they did during this season was real instead of like, oh, well, they barely beat the Packers. They barely beat the Lions. And now they're here. But what is this team really? If they just go thump the Chiefs, it would be like, yep, that's
yeah, it's Kyle Shanahan's masterpiece.
Right. And everybody, it would be really funny because all the talking head shows would 100%. In fact, you know what? I can hear it now. Our guy, Kevin Clark, friend of the program on his podcast, This Is Football, being like, sometimes we overanalyze this and sometimes the best team is just right in front of us and the 49ers are the best team all year. It was so obvious, blah, 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 blah. That's how it's going
to go. Yeah. And honestly, like, I think that's the best case for the Niners. Like if you're trying to look for, you know, points or evidence the Niners are going to win on Sunday, to me, that's it.
Yep.
Like they were the better team throughout the entire season, but coming on the heels of the Chiefs beating Baltimore, where there was that same analysis going into that game, that's, you know, obviously where that could fall flat. But we'll see. That's why they play the game, Kyle.
You know what? It sure is. Who's an underrated offensive X factor for you? As we preview this game, we'll talk plenty about your Christian McCaffreys and George Kittle and Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, et cetera, et cetera. But who's an underrated player who may not come up over the course of our regular previews?
Juwan Jennings.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
Like, Juwan Jennings is going to, like, for the 49ers to win, there's going to be a Juwan Jennings random third down conversion on a scoring drive. Right, like the one in the NFC Championship game where Purdy's rolling left and throws that ridiculous pass across his body to the middle of the field, and Jennings makes a one-handed catch. Jennings is sort of like, he epitomizes that X factor, right? Because you can have, you know, third and long as a defense, you can have a great plan for Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, but chances are you're not going to have a great plan for the fifth eligible. And that's Jennings is often the fifth eligible in those scenarios. And he's
they should have
super,
a nickname for him.
Like third and Jennings.
Yeah. Jennings on third down.
Yeah. We'll workshop it.
Third and long, find Juwan.
Ooh, I think we're getting there. I think we're close.
I think we're nailing it. We'll workshop this for sure.
maybe cut it down a little bit. but he's
Juwan on third.
Close, inching forward. he to me is like epitomizes X factor, because if he's, you know, if you win a close game, there's a good chance that you're looking back and there's like, you know, it's three catches for 42 yards, but two of them are third down conversions.
Yeah.
And gotta have it moments.
Yeah. Could also see him getting a touchdown on like a rub route with George Kittle or Debo Samuel or somebody, where he's just kind of wide open because everybody's collapsing on the middle of the field. We saw that. I think it was in Philly in week two of 2021 where he had a walk-in touchdown because a corner, a safety, and a linebacker all followed George Kittle on an in-breaker. So,
or maybe Kyle Shanahan dials up the Debo Samuel pass play like in the finale of the 21 season against the Rams. Jennings had a big game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another great call. I'm going to go with John Feliciano. Can they block Chris Jones, bro?
You are such a football guy.
You know, I am. I've been grinding a lot of film. No, we've talked about this ad nauseum every year since the 2020 offseason. Improving the interior of the offensive line because they need to stop Chris Jones and Aaron Donald in big spots.
Yeah.
And, dude, Chris Jones is a monster. And not great against the run, but a dominant pass rusher, a absolute game wrecker. And I think John Feliciano is going to get a lot of work against him. So I think if they can keep Chris Jones from filling up the stat sheet, I think the Niners have a really, really good chance to score a lot of points.
Yeah. That's no, it's a good call.
Thanks.
Good call. Kyle Brandon Thorne Madsen.
Yeah. Just I need to see the physicality in his hands. And if
right,
I see
the shock
that,
in his hands.
If I see that early, then we'll know what kind of game it's gonna be. Needs to get some sand in his ass for this one. let's jump over to the other side of the ball. What about on defense?
I'm going to go with Jair Brown.
Oh, okay.
Because the version of the 49ers winning this game probably means limiting Travis Kelce.
Sure.
In big spots. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'm trying to figure out ways to get Travis Kelce on the rookie Jair Brown. Rather than Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, right? Mm-hmm. So whether those are deeper routes, whatever, I would imagine Andy Reid, and maybe it's not even Travis Kelce, maybe it's some of the receivers or pass catchers out of the backfield. But if I'm looking at the Niners defense and I'm trying to find guys to exploit, the safeties are probably where I'd start. And I think you could make a very similar case to Ambry Thomas, and maybe Ambry Thomas is the guy that Andy Reid targets, but it's either Jair Brown or Ambry Thomas. And I think Tayshaun Gibson is a really, really smart player and positionally sound. Athletically, he's not exactly Kyle Hamilton out there, but he is a smart player. So he's not going to be like out of position. But I think in turn, like you, a rookie in a secondary in a Super Bowl, I just think that's probably the guy you target with, you know, your all time tight end. And so if Jair Brown has a good game, I think that would be huge for the Niners. If Jair Brown has a bad game, I have a hard time envisioning the 49ers winning a game where he's getting victimized over and over again.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is an underrated X factor, but it goes along the same lines, and it's Dre Greenlaw. I know he gets talked about a lot, but I think for a lot of the same things you just said about Jair Brown, if Dre Greenlaw is missing tackles and picking up a bad 15-yard penalty and running the wrong way on whatever weird run stuff Andy Reid has planned, we're going to look at another game where a team has 6+ yards before contact against San Francisco.
Have we had a Dre Greenlaw personal foul in the playoffs?
No.
Knocking on wood. I don't, you know, hopefully the Niners aren't due for one.
But yeah.
It would hardly be surprising to see Greenlaw body slamming Travis Kelce.
Oh God. On like a third, stepping. On like a third and eight.
He stops him short
for six and just
like the refs like whistling the end of forward progress, and then Greenlaw slams him,
just suplexes it. Oh God.
Yeah. And then they cut to Taylor Swift and she's horrified, and then Swiftie Nation is like making Dre Greenlaw public enemy number one. And then we find out the album, the breakup album coming out in April 19th is going to be all about how angry she is at Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, totally. Personal foul, Taylor's version.
Nice, dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm going to pick Dre Greenlaw. I love your Jair Brown pick, though.
Thank you.
I would have picked Jair Brown, but you did that, so.
Yeah. Am I asking this next one or you?
Yeah, you can.
Which 49er would you bet on for Super Bowl MVP?
Great question, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking me that. I kind of want to say Deebo Samuel, but I think the very obvious answer to me is Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I was going to say McCaffrey too.
So, okay, so we're both on McCaffrey. I'll let you talk about that. I will make the case for Deebo Samuel. He had a huge game in Super Bowl 54. 54? Yeah, 54.
He set the record for rushing yards by a receiver in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was awesome. And he hasn't been as big of a factor there this year. And we've seen time and time again that the 49ers in the biggest spots when they need some kind of spark from their offense go to Deebo Samuel. Maybe it's a screen, maybe it's something in the run game, maybe it's a third down where Purdy just has to fit a throw in a tight window. He makes a tough grab, breaks a tackle, and has a couple of big plays. I could see a scenario where this is like a 20-17 game. Purdy turns it over a couple of times. The Chiefs really commit to stopping the run, and it's a Deebo Samuel explosive that sets up a touchdown and then another Deebo Samuel touchdown, and he has 9 touches for 138 yards with a touchdown, and he just kind of owns the game. He's plus 2,500 according to BetMGM. So wow. It's a $100 bet, wins you $2,500 if he wins it. So that's where I'm going to go for the sake of our discussion.
I like that bet. And if you think about one of the things Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is really good at, it's blitzing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if Kyle Shanahan catches the right blitz and it's a tunnel screen to Deebo, like that could be a 70-yard touchdown in a hurry,
yep.
Right? So from that perspective, I absolutely like the Deebo Samuel pick for sure. But I think McCaffrey to me is the relatively easy choice, because I think the most likely version of the Niners winning is McCaffrey getting 140 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And just kind of being the guy, like,
yep.
The Niners are loaded with some really good, like, top of the line players, like guys you consider the best at their position at a few different spots.
Mm-hmm.
To me right now, I think McCaffrey is the dude who feels like the guy. Like, I would be aside, I guess Trent Williams is there for sure. Like, in terms of like guy I envision putting on a gold jacket in Canton, Ohio, like Trent Williams for sure. But in terms of like when you're talking about Fred Warner, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, McCaffrey, Deebo, like I think McCaffrey is the one most likely a guy that will end up being in Canton as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And Sunday, you know, winning Super Bowl MVP with 150 all purpose yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns feels like a feather in that cap, potentially.
Yeah.
That's the most likely scenario for the Niners winning is McCaffrey having a big game. I don't see any scenario where the Niners win the game and McCaffrey's got like 15 carries for 47 yards. You know, like that just doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Brock and the way
is, Brock is plus 230, McCaffrey is plus 450.
Yeah, I mean,
so $100 bet on Christian McCaffrey wins you $450.
Yeah, there's definitely a world where Brock wins it for sure. I just think any version of the Niners winning includes a big game for McCaffrey, particularly given the way the Chiefs defend.
Yeah, that's just it. Is they want to make you run the ball, and at least typically we'll see. That's what they did against the Ravens, and the Ravens just fed right into it, which is crazy. They did not run it very often. I think the 49ers will run it and run it a lot. But if the Chiefs sell out to stop the run and it's just Brock Purdy kind of playing point guard and Brandon Ayuk has a good day and Deebo has a good day and Kittle and McCaffrey, just everybody kind of has a good day and Purdy winds up with 21 of 27 for 290 yards and 3 touchdowns, that would probably get it for him. So, next one.
I guess I'm going to rephrase this one.
Hang on real quick mm-hmm. before we go to that. What was the one I was just looking at? Where is it? My favorite, like, longest long shot is Fred Warner plus 20,000.
So he would need $100
bet wins you $20,000. You're rooting for a low scoring game
and like a pick six.
A pick six and maybe like a sack and a forced fumble or something.
Yeah.
In a 13-6 game.
Multiple takeaways, right?
Yeah.
It would require multiple takeaways in a win for sure. What's Nick Bosa?
Plus 12,500. Same as Chris Jones.
Interesting. Interesting. I put this question and I want to change it. I have it as a yes or no question, but I want to change it to something a little bit different. How would we view Jed York if the 49ers win the Super Bowl? And the initial question I posed was, would he be vindicated from all the stuff he dealt with early on in his tenure as 49ers CEO?
I honestly think he's already there. Like on the vindicated part of this, I think he's already there. Because I mean, go look at any of the videos of him talking at last week where he spoke with media. Go look at comments from Niner fans. It's all like, wow, he's grown up so much and this and that. And our guy Juan Padilla was in the chat actually talking about this on YouTube. He was like, Jed, you know, used to have his hands and everything and he did the right thing and just took a step back and let the football people run it. And I think that's kind of how he's already viewed. But yeah, if you win a Super Bowl, he is a stamped right there with his uncle as a 49er legend for sure.
Okay.
He's grown up a lot and it shows in the way that he operates.
Hiring Kyle Shanahan and allowing him to pick John Lynch was probably the best thing that he ever did. And it's probably not close.
I would agree.
I personally am in the camp, and you know, people who listen to this pod probably know that I'm not the biggest Jim Harbaugh guy.
What? I like your sweatshirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm clearly biased against Jim Harbaugh because I went to Ohio State. No, so, but I think Jed gets kind of a bad rap, like he was the only bad actor in that whole scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was a super inexperienced owner, a psychopath head coach, and a power-hungry GM. Or, I guess, power-hungry slash, like, stubborn GM.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really toxic mix of all three. And I think the way people view that was just like, oh, Jim Harbaugh's infallible because he's this gregarious coach who we love to hear say wild stuff. And he, you know, pounds on Alex Smith's shoulder pads and brought the 49ers back to relevancy. And I get all that, but it's not to me as clear cut as like, Harbaugh's the good guy, Jed's the bad guy, which I think is how it felt like it was being digested as it happened. Right. So I like, and that's not to say Jed was without fault at all.
I think it's Trent Baalke's fault.
Well, Jed did a lot of empowering of Trent Baalke too. Mm-hmm. Like that was, he ultimately picked Trent Baalke, who then was allowed to make two more hires post Jim Harbaugh. But anyway, like to your point, hiring Shanahan and this is probably a different discussion, but Shanahan's, one of his superpowers is probably hiring people just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like whether it's picking John Lynch or whether it's, any number of the assistants he's had or picking defensive coordinators, right? Like you could look at basically, I mean, we don't fully know how we feel about Steve Wilks just yet. I mean, he's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins the Super Bowl and the defense plays well Sunday, then obviously the Steve Wilks hire will have proven to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But like the other two defensive coordinators that he's hired were wildly successful. and ended up getting head coaching jobs elsewhere. On top of the other offensive assistants that Shanahan's hired who have become head coaches elsewhere or successful coordinators elsewhere. So Jed York hiring that guy and Kyle Shanahan has ultimately been the thing that has redeemed him, in my opinion. But I don't think it was a Super Bowl for sure is like the crowning achievement. And Jed would tell you that.
Yeah. And continuing to extend Shanahan and Lynch and not letting it get to a point of, entering a contract year, either win the Super Bowl or else, like that's stupid. Getting stability is just so essential for an NFL team. And I think
underrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. I think
stability might be the most underrated thing in the league.
Yeah. And I think Jed was a huge catalyst behind the instability that we saw with them. Yeah. And now he's a big reason that they've found that and that they've been successful. Like 5-year Super Bowl windows are really hard to open in the NFL. And
especially if you don't have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Niners have done that in large part because of it's more what Jed hasn't done, but the fact that he hired the right people and it got out of the way, I think he's already vindicated, but yeah, Super Bowl would be the ultimate kind of validation.
That is pretty wild that the 49ers have had the Super Bowl window for going on 5 years now without an elite quarterback.
With three different starting quarterbacks week one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
How many different starting quarterbacks have they had? Here we go. Jimmy, Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard.
Brian Hoyer.
Since 2019. During the Super Bowl window.
Jimmy.
Brock, Trey, Josh Johnson. No, Josh Johnson never started a game. Sam Darnold, he started one. Am I missing any?
I think that's it.
Six different quarterbacks have started in 5 years.
Including, he had, what, three straight? Three straight seasons with three guys who started quarterback? Or
21, 22, 23? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy, Trey, and then Brock. Wow.
Yeah.
Wild. And somehow Tom Brady never became a 49er. Bananas.
Well, we'll see this offseason.
All right, last one. You know, he's still number 11 in Steven Ruiz's rankings, so maybe he'll see that and want to strap him back up. Let's talk about the stars real quick.
Wait, hold on. Speaking of Steven Ruiz, if the Niners win the Super Bowl, can we hit up your Rolodex and see if we can get Steve Ruiz to come on the pod?
Absolutely zero chance he would, but sure, I'll hit him up.
Okay.
He already said he'd quit this job if Brock Purdy wins a Super Bowl. So,
he might need to, you know, get his name out there.
Yeah. Trent Williams, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Christian McCaffrey, which of this quartet has their legacy benefit most from a Super Bowl win?
So I think it's McCaffrey, because I do think he's the guy that's most likely set for. I mean, it's Trent Williams. I mean, you could make a great case for Trent Williams. But Trent's already Hall of Famer. I think McCaffrey might need a big Super Bowl performance to get in the Hall of Fame. So I'll stick with McCaffrey.
Boy, I think there's. I think Kittle and Warner in the same boat here for me.
Yeah.
Where like Frank Gore and Patrick Willis are like 49ers goddamn legends. Jersey's retired. I don't know if they've officially been retired, but they should be. Jersey's retired, like all-timers in 49ers lore. Mm-hmm. Stamped unquestioned. If right now George Kittle and Fred Warner are kind of on that same track, but if they win a Super Bowl, I think both of them elevate to a different level on a national scale. Now all of a sudden you're looking at Fred Warner has a very good Hall of Fame resume. Like I think CMC could get there without a Super Bowl, But okay. Fred Warner all of a sudden is a three-time first-team All-Pro and a Super Bowl champion and the leader of this defense that was awesome for half a decade plus. And George Kittle now has these gaudy numbers and he's been so good and he's the best all-around tight end in the league. Oh, and now he has a Super Bowl to his name along with all his All-Pros and Pro Bowl accolades. I think that they jump up a tier in the all-timer type of category with the Super Bowl. Like Trent Williams is there to me. Christian McCaffrey is probably a couple of good regular seasons from getting there. I think Kittle and Warner would benefit the most from a Super Bowl.
Is it fair to say?
And if I have to pick one, I'm going with Kittle more than Warner.
Okay. If you were, do you think anyone will wear number 85 or 54 post Kittle and Warner for the Niners again?
Oh, dang.
Did you remember, Niners were...
Joe Staley's number is already being worn.
That was kind of wild.
That's where, is that the case if they win the 2019 Super Bowl and then he hangs them up? And that's where, if George Kittle is plays out his contract, what's he got, 2 years left? If he plays out his contract and then goes and plays 4 years elsewhere and finishes up his career and they don't win this Super Bowl, then no, I think somebody else wears 85. Like Vernon Davis had a hell of a career and he wore 85. I think Warner's probably kind of in the same boat, although it depends again on where where he plays the rest of his career. Whereas I think if they win Super Bowls here, then I think it changes a little bit.
Man, Kittle's 30. He's been in the league. This is his seventh season.
God.
It's tough to say. Like, can we comfortably say that George Kittle is going to be going to play for the Niners for 10 years?
I would bet no on that. If the over-under is at 9.5, I'm taking the under.
Yeah. Because it would be, you'd be going into a season with 33-year-old George Kittle, who's needed shoulder surgery now for 6 years at least. It's interesting.
That's so gnarly that he's as good as he is with just a torn labrum in his shoulder.
Yeah. I think Kittle and Warner will both be the last players to wear their respective numbers. You'll probably get another 71. And this is not to diminish anything Trent Williams has accomplished, but given that he was just kind of like acquired via trade and wasn't a homegrown, home developed. Like it is pretty crazy to think about, as good and valuable as Warner and Kittle have been, that they were fifth and third round picks.
Really nuts. Really, really crazy. Yeah, I so much changes with one Super Bowl though, man. Like so much changes. With that.
Bryant Young won a Super Bowl and was like the perfect 49er. Yeah. And, you know, Nick Bosa's wearing 97.
That's kind of wild. Bosa wasn't even the first one to wear it after Bryant Young. It wasn't like, okay, we'll dust this off and take it out of retirement.
Gosh.
Hey, what do you think? I have a question just while we're here and then we can go. If Christian McCaffrey came back next year and went into Jed York's office or whoever is in charge of this. Didn't Jeremiah Atachu wear 97?
Sounds right.
I'm looking it up right now. Dakota Watson, obviously. God. Host of 49ers
Dakota
podcast
Watson,
much?
Dakota Watson, like... leads the Kyle Shanahan era in like random special teams dude who looks like a complete badass in his uniform.
Yes, I totally agree. He had a couple of sacks in 2018.
The, the way the pads fit. He was just like crazy athletic looking. And he was just kind of like a fringe edge rusher, but just, like, special teams demon.
Dude, just Deion Jordan ass player, bro. Yeah, he looked crazy in a uniform. But yeah, I guess he wore 97. All right.
So Christian McCaffrey, the active... Go ahead.
Real quick. No, you had a point. If he pulls up, because 21 is de facto retired. They haven't officially retired it yet, but Frank Gore's jersey is de facto hung up.
It'll probably happen next year, I would guess.
If Christian McCaffrey walked in to Jed York's office and said, I want to wear 21, do you think they let him? Do you think they make him ask Frank Gore? He probably asked Frank Gore, right?
Yeah, I mean, Frank Gore's in the building. He works for the team.
Frank's just next door listening to the whole conversation.
Just like, what? I don't think so. I think Frank is Jed's favorite player of all time.
Same. So,
yeah. So Christian McCaffrey is currently eighth on the active rushing list.
Eighth. Wow.
So he definitely needs like a few more seasons. But I guess that's just rushing yards. Let me look at,
yeah, scrimmage yards.
Do we have scrimmage yards, all purpose yards, or no, yards from scrimmage? That's what we want.
Yeah.
Career.
Mm-hmm. Nailing.
Oh,
it
this
so
is
far.
An active. Okay. This is just
Gore would definitely let him wear 21.
Rush yards, all TD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna refrain from looking this up right now. But he's sixth in rushing. I'm guessing he's probably top five in total scrimmage yards. The point being, like, he's behind Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Melvin Gordon, Latavius Murray, Zeke Elliott, and Derrick Henry.
Good
so
Lord.
He does have some more compiling to do to get to Hall of Fame.
He's 10th in scrimmage yards.
Active?
Yes.
Yeah. So he needs like 4 or 5 more years of like 1500 yards.
He's number 3 among running backs though. Behind Zeke and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think when given what he did in 2018, that year where he had 1,000 and 1,000, and then what he did this year, if he has like 3 or 4 more seasons like akin to that, or akin to this year, then I definitely think he's a Hall of Famer, particularly if he, you know, wins a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, his second team All Pro, 2 first teamers, 3-time Pro Bowler, finished 3rd in Offensive Player of the Year voting in 2019, finished 7th last year, and he's probably going to
win
it
this year.
I think he's
going to be top 3.
While leading the league in touchdowns twice, scrimmage yards twice.
So he led the league in rushing, scrimmage yards, and did he lead in touchdowns this year?
Yeah. Might have tied for the lead with Mostert.
So if he led the league in all those categories, yeah, he should win Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Interesting stuff.
Burning questions for the Super Bowl.
This is our second pod of the week. We are hoping to do at least one more.
Jake Moody attempts 2 field goals. Are you going over or under 1.5 made field goals?
Makes.
Mm-hmm. If he kicks 2.
What are the yardages? Any of them from 40 plus?
Yeah, between 38 and 50 yards.
One of them or both of them?
Both of them are in that range.
Under, for sure. He goes 2 for 2 on like reasonably long kicks. I will be stunned.
Me too.
There is no doubt, like, the 49ers have to plan on winning this game by 4 points. They have to assume that this game is starting 3-0 in favor of the Chiefs because Jake Moody is going to push one to the right.
Stop.
Tell me I'm wrong, though. Like, fourth, tell me I'm wrong.
Fourth, first quarter, first drive, fourth and four from the Chiefs' 42-yard line. Do you go for it?
Sorry, say it again.
First drive of the game, mm-hmm. fourth and four from the Chiefs' 42-yard line. Do they go for it or kick it? You're looking at 49, 50-yard field goal.
From the 42?
Yeah.
From the 32. 42 is 60.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 30. Yeah, 32.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
I think I am too.
I'm going for it. I got all the dudes. Like, it, if there's a team that is designed to go for it on fourth and short, medium, it's the Niners.
What about fourth and five?
I'll kick it.
Fourth and four, you're going fourth and five. Too far.
I will hope that... Gonna write this on the whiteboard pregame in the locker room. Win first and second down.
hey, keys to the game is next episode. Come on.
so if you throw an incompletion on third down, it's fourth and three instead of fourth and six.
Yeah.
Or fourth and five.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us. We'll have more Super Bowl preview content coming to you later on in the week. Maybe some props, maybe a guest. We'll have some fun with it. Can't wait. Countdown to Sunday is on. Subscribe to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@CandlestickChroniclesPodcast, or just search Candlestick Chronicles on YouTube. We'll be right there. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. Please like our videos. That helps us a ton with the almighty algorithm. And of course, if you're listening on the podcast or to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, go ahead and subscribe if you have not already done that. And if you have friends who are Niner fans who are getting amped up for the game, tell them about it. Telephone. We'd appreciate it immensely. That's it for us. We'll talk to you next.
See ya.
Bye.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.